All right, God is good. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want to talk about a doctrine that God says is a very important doctrine for the Christian this morning. And it's a word called charity. It's a word that a lot of the new Bibles, just about all the new Bibles, have changed to love. But we're going to find out that the charity that the Holy Ghost, that word the Holy Ghost used, is more than love. It's beyond love. It's a love in action. It's a love that bears fruit. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul said this. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh not evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, when that Holy Bible is talking, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, be charitable to me this day, Lord, and fill me with the Holy Ghost of God, Lord, and fill this building with your power, your spirit, your presence, Lord. Help us to understand your word. Give us ears to hear, Father, and eyes to see, Lord, and that heart of understanding this morning to know the gravity of this thing you call charity, Lord, and how we're to apply it in our daily walk, and we're to not neglect it, Lord, but thank you for it, Lord. The greatest act of charity of all time, Father, you're giving your precious, lovely Son to die on the cross for my sins, for the sins of the world. Lord, thank you for that great sacrifice and that great charitable act, Lord. And we'll love you and thank you. Lord, we pray for each one here, each house represented, Father, that they'd get a blessing today and you'd help them and strengthen them. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Noah Webster states here that the word charity, or states rather, that the word charity is derived from a Latin word called charitas, or caritas, which comes from the Latin verb caris, that means it's something that is dear and costly. It costs you something. Now, the New Age Bible versions have changed the word charity in our text to love, and they go on to one of a dozen Greek manuscripts in order to correct your Bible. The Holy Scripture, however, use the word charity, and I think we'll find out why here if you listen for a few minutes. Charity is an extension of love. It's not just love. It's a love that costs you something. And according to Webster, something very dear. It's got to cost you something sacrificially. Webster continues to define charity as liberality to the poor, consisting in almsgiving or benefactions or in gratuitous services to relieve them in distress. In John 15:13, the Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, watch it, that he lay down his life for his friends. That's the act. That's the charity. What follows and is motivated by love is what follows that motivation of love. The charity here is that a man loves enough to do something about it. Here it's laying down his life for his friends. Look at 1 John 4 and verse 9, and we'll see how this works. In 1 John 4 and verse 9, the Bible says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us." That means it's in our direction. It's available to us. "In this was manifested the love of God toward us." Watch it. "Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." So that's based on God's love, His love toward us, available to us. He sent us His precious Son. I remember at the Christmas story where it says the angel said, "Peace on earth and goodwill toward man." That means God's goodwill was toward you when the Savior was born, when He sent His only begotten Son to pay the price for your sins and my sins. "For God so loved the world," the Bible says in John 3:16, "God so loved the world that He gave." That's the charity. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him, should not perish, but have everlasting life." Whoever believeth in Him. You'll find in the Scriptures one place it says in Him, another place it says believe on Him. The word "in" means by way of or through. You believe in Christ. It's through Christ, in Christ. Another place it says believe on Him. The word "on" means to rest for support. So our resting place is in the precious, lovely Son, Jesus Christ. Here again, love is the motive, but the giving is charity. The giving here is a manifestation of that love. It says in Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth His love toward us." There it is again. It's in our direction. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the giving. And notice that while we were yet sinners, that verse just says that God will accept you for salvation just exactly like you are. My. You don't have to turn over a new leaf or start living life differently to come to the cross. He'll take you at the foot of the cross just exactly like you are. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You come to Christ as a sinner. God loved you enough to save you from your sins. And He also loved you enough to not leave you there after you get saved. He brings you along, fills your heart with that Spirit of God, and helps you and guides you and directs you. And that's all His mercy and love and charity. The giving here, a manifestation of that love. You can love somebody all you want to, but if you never step out and do a thing for that person, then what's the point? What's the point? If you love somebody, you never do anything for them. A charity is to love just as works are to faith. The Bible says that faith without works is dead. Well, your love without works, I might suggest, is dead. You need to show somebody you love them by doing something for them. You can love someone, as they say on Facebook, to the moon and back, and never once step out in love to do anything for them. That stepping out is the charity that God holds in such high esteem. When's the last time your love for someone was made manifest by you doing something for that person? My. Apostle Paul, speaking to young Timothy, he tried to impress on him the high priority and extreme weight that God places on charity. 1 Timothy 1:5, the Bible says, "Now the end of the commandment is charity." Did you get that? He said the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart with faith unfeigned. And a good conscience with faith unfeigned. The end of the commandment is charity. Wow, how do you get around that one? You see the importance God places on charity. Webster says that charity means giving something that is dear and costly. I remember Brother Woods one time, somebody had asked him, said, do you think that everybody ought to give the same? I don't remember the context of that. And Brother Wood said, well, I think everybody ought to have the same sacrifice. You give the same sacrifice the same. Hey, you can give out of your abundance to somebody, that's one thing. But when you give out of your need, man, you're in a whole new category with God. That's when God blesses. That's when God struts His stuff with you. Your Heavenly Father gave that which was most dear and most costly to Him. The precious blood of His lovely Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. The greatest act of charity all creation will ever witness was our Lord and Savior. Not my will, but thine be done, He told His Heavenly Father. 2,000 years before Webster came along, God defined charity as none other ever could by giving to us a way to be reconciled. Sinful man, He reached out in love and then He did something about it. Now, it's in your court. The ball's in your court. You need to respond to that love and to that mercy and to that charity. My Webster's Dictionary, a fellow named Buckminster is quoted as saying, the highest exercise of charity is charity towards the uncharitable. Did you hear that? He said, the highest exercise of charity is charity towards the uncharitable. They don't have it coming to them. Isn't that what grace is all about? Webster finds grace as the unmerited favor of God. We don't have eternal life coming to us. Hey, if God showed me justice, if I pled God's justice, I'd be in hell. I needed mercy, not justice. My, my, my. If we're ever to become Christ-like, if we are ever to understand Christian growth, if we're ever to grow in holiness, and we're ever to live and walk in the likeness of the Savior, we must learn charity. If we expect to be Christ-like, we must learn charity. Christians today, I think, would be better off with a lot less worldly religion and learn a lot more about biblical, godly, self-denying charity. In the early church, before the scriptures were completed, they spoke in tongues, and a revelation would come from God, and then someone else would interpret that. The Bible says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every matter be established. And, you know, Paul told that crowd, he said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And those scriptures were completed about 100 A.D. And before that, God revealed His mind to the early church also through the prophets. Paul told them, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. Yeah. Charity. You're sitting here today. I don't care how religious that you think you are. I don't care if you haven't missed a church service in 20 years. If you don't have charity, you need to remember your first love and remember those first works. If you don't have charity, you may as well have stayed at the house, because the Lord said the end of the commandment is charity. Another place it says, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. What is that about? I tell you how God proved this one to me. I had a relative, man, he lived like an old hound dog. He fell for every vice that came along, he'd fall for it. Whether it was a skirt, he'd chase it, a gambling machine, he'd put every dime he had in it. Whether it was a bottle of whiskey, he'd drink it until it was all gone. He fell for every vice. And God still blessed that man. I wonder, why has God continued to bless that man? You know why? Because he had a good heart, a tender heart, and he was a giver. Always given. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. My, 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 my. Isn't that wild? You've known people like that? I said, man, how can God bless that person? Because he's a giver. She's a giver. Got that tender heart. And God sees the heart. People sitting in churches in this country that a lot of churches, they wouldn't help a person in need for anything. Have disdain for those who have less than they do. Don't matter if they'd own the U.S. Treasury, they still wouldn't give. Paul told this group of Corinthians, he said, charity never faileth. Wow. I don't care if you speak in 35 languages, no sign language. I don't care if you prophesy who the next Pope is going to be or how smart that you think you are. The Bible says, whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. But charity never faileth. Hey, that isn't from me. That's from the King James 1611 authorized version of the Holy Bible. 1 Corinthians 13:4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And our text here, the Apostle Paul said in verse 13, and now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. My, 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 my. Before Paul goes into his discourse here on charity, he told those Corinthians at the end of chapter 12, you know what he said? He said, covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. He said, I want to talk to you about something that's more excellent than all those spiritual gifts. I want to talk to you about charity. More excellent than all the spiritual gifts is charity. Greater than faith, greater than hope is charity. In the book of Luke, our Lord tells the story of the Good Samaritan. He speaks of a man, he's down and out, wounded. You know the story. And he's there wounded, laying in a ditch. And the Bible, then all of a sudden the religious crowd shows up. The priest walks by or saw him, and the priest went on the other side of the street and walked by on the other side. Preacher wasn't interested in that fella. Then it says that a Levite came by. That's still the religious crowd. That's the taste not, touch not, handle not. We don't smoke and we don't chew and we don't run with them that do. That's the crowd. And said they walked by on the other side. My, my, my. That fellow was wounded, not a shirt on his back, not a dime to his name. No job, no car. He was wounded or horse back in that day. No, he couldn't work if he wanted to. And the religious folks just passed by on the other side, unmoved by the plight that man was in. I fear that is what a lot of professing Christians, professing churches have become, cold and indifferent to the plight that is everywhere around us. Oh, they'll shout it out. They'll wear a different tie to church every week. They'll quote the Bible. They'll build the church treasury. That'll break the bank down at the riverboat. They'll do a lot of things. But when a man in need shows up, a lot of folks, they run like a bunch of rabbits coming out of a brush pile. The Lord wasn't impressed with the religious bunch that passed by on the other side. Specifically named them. But this fellow was down and out, without hope, without a friend in the world. Without a friend. I remember the old TV. Anybody remember? I think it was a radio show. I was a real little boy, obviously. But a thing called Boston Blackie. Here comes Boston Blackie. Said he was a friend to those who have no friends. Are you a friend to those who have no friends? This fellow down and out without hope, without a friend in the world. And he gave us an example to follow. This Samaritan, good Samaritan, gave us an example. Not only had compassion on this man, but he went to him. He bound up his wounds, put him on his own horse, gave him a place to stay, and then left money for his keep. What's that about? That's about Christian charity. The Apostle Paul told the Colossians, Colossians 3:12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do ye. Now watch this next verse. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. You know what that verse just said? It said the things that hold it all together, the glue that holds it all together, is charity. A giving heart. We're born takers. God has to teach you to be a giver. That little baby comes out of the womb. They get a little age on first thing. They want to grab their uncle's watch, their grandpa's glass. And they want, give me. You take it away from them. They'll scream and scream. You've got to be taught to be givers. My. The thing that ties all of these spiritual things that we're endued with from the Holy Spirit of God are all tied together with a glue of charity. It's called the bond of perfectness. 1 Corinthians 16:14, let all your things be done with charity. All your things. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. The old preacher George Mueller once said that God judges what we give by what we keep. You can be religious today, but do you know what the Bible says pure religion is? It's found over in James. And it says this. It says, pure religion and undefiled before God and man is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions and to remain unspotted by the world. I know that I've received criticism over the years. Given, somebody said, why is he giving to that old sorry woman over there? Why did he give? Why does the church have to give anything to her? It isn't that sorry woman. It's those five fatherless kids that she has to take care of. That's what we give to. Fatherless kids wandering around aimlessly without groceries. Visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. It means to help them out. Almost done. It means to, not just to love them. You can love them all you want to. That won't help them out of a fix. It means to put that love in action and go help them out. You say, well, I don't know about them. That's the church. Well, who do you think the church is? It's you. You make up the church, not this building. It's a building. Jesus Christ indwells every believer. And the only way that Jesus Christ can manifest himself to a world apart from his word is through the acts of his church. Individuals reaching out to others. 1 John 2:6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Are you walking as he walked? When's the last time you reached out and touch somebody? Amen. John Wesley once said, do all the good you can by all the means you can, and all the ways you can, and all the places you can, and all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Give until it hurts. Fellow says, you don't give till it hurts, you give until it feels good. When you're happy about your giving, charity of God is boundless, gave us everything he had. He gave up his crown and took up the cross. He gave us his glory. Gave up his glory and took on the form of a servant. Gave up his heavenly home and came to a manger. He offered the world a pardon from their sins and they cried, "Free Barabbas." He offered the world eternal life and they crucified him. Liberty, they nailed him to his cross. If we would simply give when we have an opportunity to give, not checking whether we can afford it or not, not checking our circumstances, but just giving when God sends someone across our path. And above all things, 1 Peter 4:8, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. My. Where's your Christian charity today? Have you forgotten it? Has it got lost somewhere in the mix? I'm done this morning. Everyone stand up. Ricky, if you'll follow Jeremiah right down here, he'll show you the ropes we're going to baptize this morning. Joyce, if you'll come to the piano, wherever you are. Charity. The end of the commandment is charity. Out of a pure heart. And a good conscience. And faith unfeigned. Maybe you need to regain some of that giving that God put in your heart when you first got saved. Maybe you've come hardened because of the abuses of people. You'll give people $5 and they'll go buy. I don't think $5 will buy any dope anymore. Back in the day it would. But God expects you to be a giver. He was a giver. He is the greatest giver ever known in the history of the universe. God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The altar's open if you'd like to come. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ. You don't have that in your heart because you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart. If you have doubts about that this morning, come to this altar. Get it right with God. Maybe there's a burden on your heart. You just want to get right with God. Maybe you've been praying for someone. Maybe you've been praying about something that you need to do. As we sing, the altar is open.